Okay, so let's begin Chamisha Chumshe Torah. We're starting with Parashat Bereshit. We're all the way in the beginning. Bereshit, in the beginning. All the way in the beginning of the Torah. And we all know some Sfarim write that you want to see what's the essence of a certain topic, you want to look at the beginning. And the essence of the Torah is found in Bereshit. It's found right here in this first parasha. And some Sfarim even write that the essence of the entire Torah is found in the first word, Bereshit. There's so much here. This parasha is loaded out of its mind. There's so much to talk about. You know, by the way, that makes the most difficult shiur, when there's so much to talk about, you don't know what to focus on. But here we go. We'll try to focus on something. So, as we are approaching Shabbat, we're just about to enter Shabbat. It's already Erev Shabbat. So, we can talk about Shabbat. Shabbat is mentioned in this week's parasha. So you see, at the end of the first perek, we have a pasuk that says, "Vayara Elohim et kol asher asa v'hineh tov me'od." This is at the completion of the creation of the sheshet yemei hamaaseh, the 6 days of the creation. Hashem says, "Tov me'od vayer vayiboker yom hashishi," right, the sixth day. And then that is the conclusion of the first perek. We go on to the second perek. What does it say? Vaychulu ha-shamayim ve'aretz v'chol tzvam, and so on and so forth. We know the rest of that paragraph. Okay, the shamayim and the aretz and all of its assistants have been created. Okay, and then it says that Hashem vayanach bayom ha-shvi'i, right? And it says not vayanach bayom ha-shvi'i, right? But it says that Hashem rested on the seventh day, and that is Shabbat. Right? So we have over here the paragraph that we say every single Friday night, Vaychulu Hashamayim Ve'aretz. But we don't start from Vaychulu, right? Especially the Sfaradim, they don't start from Vaychulu. They start from the two words from before. The two words from in the previous parak, Yom Hashishi, Vaychulu Hashamayim Ve'aretz V'chol Tzvam. So what's the reason for that? Why do we do that? It's not only is it from a different pasuk, right? It's the last two words of the previous pasuk, but it's a completely different perek. It's the perek right before. So why do we do that? Why do we start? Why do we start? Proclaiming that Hashem, took Hashem 6 days to create the world, and on the seventh day he rested. We start by adding those two words, Yom Hashishi, Vaychulu Hashamayim Ve'aretz. Question number one. Question number two is we see the Baal HaTorim. He already addresses this a little bit. The Baal HaTorim is a commentary on the Chumash. He is the same author as the Tur. The Tur, which is a halachic code book that is used until today. The Shulchan Aruch wrote a commentary on the Tur, which was organized in four chalakim, four different categories: Or HaChaim, Yor HaDeah, Eben HaEzer, and Choshen Mishpat, dealing with four different topics. So the Shulchan Aruch commented on the Tur, and based on his commentary on the Tur, he wrote what's called the Shulchan Aruch, which we learn today. So the Tur also wrote a commentary to Chumash called the Baal HaTorim. And very, very often he gives us a lot of fun commentaries like gematrias and Roshe Tevot, acronyms and things like that. And he tells us, a certain word, how many times it appears in the entire Torah. A lot of fun facts. So he tells us the Baal HaTorim, you see over here in the sheet, the Baal HaTorim tells us, Yom HaShishi Vaychulu HaShamayim. So he quotes in the Midrash in Bereshit Rabbah. He says, if you look a little further, he says, Perush Lifi She'en, I'm sorry, Roshe Tevot, you see the Resh and Taf, Roshe Tevot Shem Ben Dalet Otiyot. Okay? So, Yom HaShishi Vaychulu HaShamayim. Spell out the first letter of each of those words. Yom Yud HaShishi Hey Vaychulu Vav HaShamayim Hey. Okay, so hinted to in those four words that are consecutive is Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yom HaShishi Vechul HaShamayim. So it says about the Torim that Shem, the name of Ben Dalet Otiyot, the name, the four-letter name, the four-letter name, Hashem's four-letter name, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, is there. It's hinted to in those words. Shechatam bo ma'ase bereshit. Hashem was chotem ma'ase bereshit, the creation, with this name, with Yud Kei Vav Kei. Right? And then the Baal HaTrim continues also that you find this name hinted to in another pasuk that we say. We say this pasuk every single day. Yismichu Hashamayim v'tagel haaretz. Once again, Yismichu is with a yud, Hashamayim with a hey, v'tagel vav haaretz. Hey, it spells out, the first letter in each word spells out yud ke vav ke Hashem's name. Once again, he says, Rosh Tevot Shem ben Dalet Otiyot, the name, the four letter name of Hashem. That he continues, Shechatam ha'olam b'shem Dalet Otiyot. Basically, Hashem left his mark. Hashem made what's called a chotam on the creation. What exactly is a chotam? What's a chotam? So it comes from the word lachtom. Who knows what the word lachtom means, or chatima? Yes, Miro. Not a siyum. A sign? Not a sign. Nathanel, what?
A signature.
Excellent. William, did you say seal or?
I said seal.
I thought you said something else. Okay. So yes, seal is one definition of the word. Signature is another definition of the word. In actuality, they both mean the same thing, because back in the day, a king, you would have a ring, and we're going to get into this in a little bit. And what was the purpose of the king's ring? Not so he could show off his jewelry, but he had a seal on the ring. Okay, it's like a little stamp.
Achashverosh.
I'm sorry?
And Migalatis there, Achashverosh.
Yes, Bechotam HaMelech. Yes, beautiful. Chotam HaMelech. That's exactly it. It's the ring that he was able, with the ring, to sign off. Right, the specific signature on his ring, sign off on any, and that's that made the letter or whatever article that he was signing, that made it authenticated. Okay, that authenticated the letter and proved that it's really actually from the king. So, signature, a seal, a stamp, you know, however you want to name it. Let's roll with the word with the word like Nathanael said, signature. Okay, lachtom, chatima, chotam. It means a signature. So what exactly is the significance of that? What does that mean that Hashem signed off the world with the name Yud Kei Vav Kei? These are all deep concepts. Let's try to understand them. And also, the Baal HaTorim tells us that Hashem's name is hinted to in those two psukim. Yismichu Hashamayim v'tagel ha'aretz, Yud Kei Vav Kei. And also, Yom HaShishi v'aychulu Hashamayim v'aretz. What's the connection between those two psukim? So, to explain a little more what a chotam is, okay? Imagine, is anyone here into art, except for Joe? Anyone else? You enjoy art, okay, beautiful. Has anyone here ever drawn, did anyone here ever draw a painting? I don't mean like a painting that you go on paint night. You go to a paint night and you go with a few friends and... No, I mean like a real painting. Anyone? Does anyone here have a painting in their home? Okay. You do, William. Okay, good. So, most paintings, okay, somewhere on the painting, you'll find a signature. Okay? You'll find a signature. Why is there a signature there? An artist signs off on his painting so that everyone who sees it knows who it belongs to. They know who the author is, know who the artist is. If it's missing a signature, it may lose its value and it won't be identifiable, it won't be attributable to its artist. A signature gives the painting life and authenticity. That's the purpose of a signature. Now, I actually did some research on this, and I did see that there are many, many, many paintings that don't have signatures, and many artists that don't sign off on their paintings, but for the large majority of paintings and famous artists, they will sign it off, and that is the purpose of the signature. So what does it mean that Hashem's signature, Hashem signed off His name on the creation? What exactly does that mean? Once again, it's a siman, it's a sign to in order to identify the artist. So our job is to find the chotam in this world, to find Hashem's signature, and to recognize Hashem in the creation. Like the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Se'u marom enechem uru mi bara ele. Lift your eyes above, uru, and see mi bara ele. Who created this? Look around. You guys ever think about that? Look around and just ponder. Where did this table come from? Oh, it came from wood. Where did the wood come from? It came from the trees. Where did the trees come from? It came from the ground. Where did the ground come from? Now you're getting into deeper and deeper things. So if you got straight A's in earth science in high school, then maybe you might be able to take that a step or two further. But you're always going to reach a dead end. Unless you understand that there is one who created the world and continues to allow the world to work. Se'u marom enechem uru mi bara ele. Lift your eyes above. Move your eyes, open up your eyes, move them around. And just understand and think, where did all of this come from? That's Hashem's signature. Trying to find Hashem's signature in the creation. And then it says, right, we say this every day, Ki hu amar vayehi utzva v'yamod. Hashem is the one that said, it should be. Hu tzva v'yamod. He commanded and that it should stand. The creation should stand on its feet. The pasuk says in Nehemiah, we say this every day, Atahu Hashem levadecha, you are Hashem alone. Ata asita ta shamayim, you made the shamayim, shemei shamayim, all of the shamayims, v'chol tzvam and all of its assistants, ha'aretz v'chol asher aleha, the land and everything that's on the land, hayamim v'chol asher b'hem, the oceans and everything that's there, ve'ata mechayet kulam, and you pump life into all of them. Utzva ha'shamayim l'chamish tachavim, and all of the heavenly hosts, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, they all bow down to you. But it says, you know, it says in the Mishnah, in Masechet Avot, right? Ba'asara ma'amarot nivra ha'olam. The world was created with 10 ma'amarot. That means with 10 words that Hashem used. Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer Hashem. It says that 10 times. Actually, it says it 9 times. And Bereshit is counted as one of the ma'amarot. But with those 10 words that Hashem used, ma'amarot, that's how Hashem created the world. That's how the world was created. To understand and to attribute the entire creation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, the Midrash I want to show you right now gives us a mashal. It's a beautiful mashal. Look at this mashal in the Midrash of Bereshit Rabbah. The Midrash says as follows. Mashal lemelech she'asu lo tabat. Okay, there was a mashal to a king. They made for the king a tabat, a ring. Ma ita chasira chotam. What was the ring missing? So you see over here the ring. Chotam, it was missing this seal. It was missing this that signer, that signature, that seal, that stamp on the ring, which is the most important part of the ring. That's the mashal. Kach, ma ya haolam chaser, so too. What was the world lacking? Hashem created the world. Hashem created everything in the world. It took Hashem six days. But he saw something was missing. What was missing? The chotam. The chotam was missing. What's the chotam? Shabbat. Shabbat is the chotam. The Midrash tells us that Hashem created the entire universe, everything inside of it. It was complete. It was perfect. It was completely perfect. However, one thing was still missing, Shabbat. That's exactly what we say, what we're saying. A chotam is something that helps attribute a work of art to the artist. Shabbat is the chotam of the creation of the world. How so? Because on Shabbat, it's revealed in the clearest way that Hashem created the world and continues to run the world. On Shabbat, it's revealed, as the Pasuk in Tehillim says, we said it actually in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's a parak of Tehillim that we say by the Tefillah of the Parnassah. I'm sure in all of your Batei Knesiot, if they were opened, I'm sure it sold for a lot of money. So the parak of Tehillim that said, Le David Mizmor, La Hashem Haaretz Umloah. To Hashem belongs the land and everything in the land. Tevel v'yoshevah, everything, the entire land belongs to Hashem. On Shabbat, that is revealed to its fullest. That's why Shabbat is the Chotam. Let's take this a step further and understand exactly what that means. The 6 days of the creation represent this world, Olam Hazeh. Materialism, work, mundane things. That's what the 6 days of the week represent. That's obvious, that needs no explanation. Shabbat, as we say in the song, Shabbat is Me'en Olam Haba. Shabbat, the Gemara tells us, is 1/60th of Olam Haba. It's a breath of Olam Haba. That's Shabbat. Shabbat is a connection. We're basically connecting ourselves to the next world, to Olam Haba. Disconnecting ourselves from this world. We don't work, we don't do melacha, we rest. We connect ourselves to the next world. Me'en Olam Haba. We say in the Harachaman on Shabbat, Achmanu Yanchilenu Yom Shekulo Shabbat Umnucha L'Chayi Olamim. We're asking for Mashiach. What do we say? Hashem, give us a day that's completely Shabbat, that's everlasting. Shabbat is Olam Haba. What do? We connect the 6 days to Shabbat. How do we connect the 6 days to Shabbat? We say, on Shabbat, what do we say? Hashem, everything that I accomplished during those 6 days is because of you. And that's why I'm resting. In other words, all of what happens in the world is attributed to Hashem. So again, the analogy, 6 days of the week is this world. Shabbat is Shamayim, is Hashem. Spirituality. Olam Haba. What we're saying is, Hashem, everything in this world is attributed to you. That's Shabbat. That's the testimony of Shabbat. We testify that Hashem created and continues to run the world. So what do? We don't work. To show, hey, look, we're not working. And we're still making a ton of money. It's the biggest testimony that one could perform. Keeping Shabbat. That's why one of the main indicators of whether a person is someone who's a ma'amin, who has emunah, who believes in God, who is someone who's a religious Jew, what's the first question that you ask? Who shomer Shabbat? Does he keep Shabbat? It's the foundation of Judaism. To keep Shabbat means to testify, to acknowledge that the world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That all of your accomplishments in this world are attributed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You keep Shabbat, you stop working for 25 hours, and you say, listen, I'm disconnecting myself from this world because this world belongs to you. And all of my success in this world is because of you. That's why there's such a big mitzvah, it's a machloket in the Rishonim, whether it's a mitzvah d'oraita, mitzvah d'rabanan, of what's called Tosefet Shabbat. Tosefet Shabbat means that, yes, technically speaking, you're supposed to keep Shabbat from nightfall to nightfall. However, there's a mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat. Add a little bit to Shabbat. Add a little bit to it. The machlok in the Rishonim, it might even be Doraita that you need to add on to Shabbat. Why is it such a big deal to add on to Shabbat? Because it's bringing out the point in a clear way. You're saying, Hashem, everything belongs to you. I'll take off another 5 minutes of work. 10 minutes of work. Half hour of work. There was one time I was walking to Bet Knesset in a family member's home. I was there for Shabbat, and after Seudat Shlishit, I started. We left the house, and we started walking to the Bet Knesset, and we saw the next door neighbor was walking out of his home, but walking in a different direction. Now, there's only one shul in town, only one Bet Knesset in town. Where is he going? We asked him, hey, where are you going? The shul is this way, where are you going? He said, oh, I'm going to a minyan in the house, one block over. Now, just to put things in context, this was before Corona. when, you know, when it's it was a little more acceptable to pray in someone's house, you know, with the assumption that everyone is healthy and the situation around us is very good and safe and comfortable. There is absolutely no reason why someone should pray in a minyan in the home, especially when you have a bet knesset that's literally a 3-minute walk from you. You know, so I asked him, like, you have a shul over there. Why are you going to pray there? And he said, oh, because they finish a few minutes earlier. I said, listen, how much earlier do they finish? You know, this shul that we're going to, they don't take the longest time. Yeah, but they don't have. There's no rabbi. You don't have to wait for the rabbi to finish Shmona Esrei, and there are only 11 people, and everyone's quick. And so I asked him. I said, honest. Let me ask you honest question. Do you have like a very important meeting that you need to attend to immediately after Shabbat? Is there something important, very very important, that's an emergency? That he said no. I said, what exactly are you rushing to do when you get back home? Oh, I'm just gonna go check my emails. So like, why are you doing that? What are you trying to do? Check your emails for what are you gonna accomplish in those 3 minutes? 3 minutes, mamash, not even 3 minutes. You want to tell me you want to go work on your business, maybe sell another item or whatever. You know, Joe wants to sell another shoe to someone in Hawaii or something like that, right? Tosefet Shabbat means, Hashem, I know that everything is attributed to you. I know that you own the world. I know that you are the cause of all of my success. I'll take another half hour and I'll add it onto Shabbat. Because anyways, you're the one who's giving me the money. Who cares? Right? That's why it's such a big deal. And that's why when we say Vayichulu Hashamayim Ve'aretz V'chutz V'am, so first of all, the custom is to say Yom HaShishi Vayichulu Hashamayim Ve'aretz. Why to start by Yom HaShishi? Once again, to connect the Yom HaShishi to Vayichulu Hashamayim, because then it comes out that it's Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Rosh Tevot end up being Hashem's name. They end up being Hashem's name. That's the idea, that's the purpose. So Yom HaShishi, and what are we saying? We're saying Vaychulu Hashemayim Ve'aretz V'chol Tzvam. We're testifying that Hashem, you created the world. Vaychal Elohim and Yom HaShivi Melachto Asher Asa. Hashem, on the seventh day, you stopped doing all the work. Vayishbot Bayom HaShivi, and you rested on the seventh day. Kibo Shavad Mikol Melachto Asher Ba Elohim La'asot. You worked for 6 days and you rested on the seventh day, testifying, Hashem, you created the world. Not only you created the world, but also that you worked for 6 days and you rested on the seventh day. And that's fine. We're testifying something that's so, so, so important. It's an actual testimony. That's why according to Halacha, there's some poskim, the Ashkenazim say this, that you have to be standing up when you say Vayichulu Hashemayim Ve'aretz. You have to. Not only that, you also need to be saying it with at least one more person. You cannot say it alone. You can't say, according to Ashkenazim, they say, you cannot say Vayichulu alone. That's why if you finish Shemona Esrei a bit after the Shliach Tzibur, the Chazan does, finish Shemona Esrei a little afterwards, so you have to go and find someone. You have to go and find someone to say it with. That's what, you know, almost every Shabbat when I pray, if I ever pray with Ashkenazim, there's always someone who comes over to me and says, you know, why is that? Because testimony, edut, according to Halacha, edut, en edut pachot mishnayim. You cannot testify with less than two people. A testimony of one person is worthless, doesn't do anything. Testimony needs to be with two people. And en edut, you know, you have to stand up when you testify. You can't sit down. It's mamash testimony. We're mamash testifying that Hashem created the world. We're acknowledging it. That's why, now it all makes sense. That's why Hashem's name, Yudke Vavke, is hinted to in both of those psukim, like the Baal HaTurim said all the way in the beginning. The Baal HaTurim said, Yom HaShishi Vaychulu HaShamayim is Rosh Tevot. The first letter in each word is Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem's name. Not only that, Yismichu HaShamayim V'Tagel HaAretz is also Rosh Tevot Yud Kei Vav Kei. What's the connection between Shabbat and Yismichu Hashamayim v'tagel ha'aretz, the Shamayim will be happy and the land will rejoice. What's the connection? The connection is that by keeping Shabbat, you're testifying that the Shamayim and the Aretz belong to Hashem, that Hashem created the world. Yudke Vavke, that Hashem is the Chotam. Hashem is the Chotam. He signed His name in the creation. And we're acknowledging that. Let's take this a step further. So we know Amalek. Amalek is bad. Very, very bad. They're not our friends. They don't like us. They want us dead. Not only physically dead, spiritually dead. Amalek, if you take the gematria of Amalek, what does it equal? Who knows? What word does it come out to? Equals the word safek. Amalek is begematria safek. What does safek mean? Who can tell me?
A doubt. Uncertainty.
Doubt, uncertainty, confusion. Because the koach of Amalek is to make our vision blurry. Is to bring doubt into our lives. Specifically in the world that we live in Olam Hazeh. What does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, Vayomer ki yad al kes ka milchama la'ashem ba'amalek midor dor. Ki yad al kes ka. And the Gemara tells us that as long as Amalek is alive, Hashem's name is not complete. Which name? Yud ke vav ke. Hashem's name is not complete. Ki Hashem's name is not complete. Ki yad al kes ka. Ka is yud ke. But it's missing the vav and the hey. It's missing it. It's separated. What's the pshat? What's going on over here? That means the yud and the hey and the vav and the hey. The yud and the hey represent this world, Olam Hazeh. Those two letters of Hashem's name represent Hashem's control over this world. And the vav and the hey represents Shamayim, represents Hashem's control in the upper worlds. But until then, until we destroy Amalek, that both names of Hashem are split. The Yod and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey. What does that mean that they're split? It means that there's a disconnect between this world and the next world. There's a disconnect between what's happening in this world and Hashem and Shamayim. That's what it means. It means that while we're living in this world, we fail to acknowledge that Hashem is not only in Shamayim, but Hashem is also in this world. You know, one of the forms, one of the origins of Avodah Zarah, that the Rambam writes, is what? Is that there are certain random people who agreed that Hashem created the world. They agreed, they admitted it. They didn't believe in this Big Bang theory and all that stuff. They agreed that Hashem created the world. But what? Yeah, He created the world and then He let the world run itself. He put it on cruise control and then just left. And he's watching, but he doesn't really control the world anymore. That's Amalek, disconnecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu from this world. That's the splitting of the Yud Hey and the Vavin Hey. That's what it means. Only La'atid Lavo Bezat Hashem, when we'll be Zoche, to be Moche Zecher Amalek, we're going to eradicate Amalek from the world, then it's going to be all going to be clear, crystal clear to us. But until then, we have the koch of Amalek that is blurring our vision in this world. That's why we beg Hashem. If you ever sing the song Yadid Nefesh, so the last stanza says, Higalena, Higalena. Hashem, reveal yourself. Right? Reveal Higalena. Reveal yourself. Reveal yourself to us in the world. It's confusing, it's blurry. We said on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo bichvodach. Rule over the entire world with your honor. What do you mean rule? We don't believe that Hashem is ruling over the entire world. We have to tell Hashem, please rule over the entire world. We need you to rule over. No, Hashem always rules. What does it mean? It means Hashem rule over the entire world in a clear and evident fashion. A way that everyone can see, and everyone can see with their naked eye that you're ruling the world. Don't rule the world in a hidden way anymore. Let everyone see, let us see it. During the week, only the names of Yud and Hey are revealed to us. It's only on Shabbat that the other two letters are united with them. That's why there's a special koach of clarity on Shabbat. The Zohar Kadosh says, you should always try, when you learn Torah, to learn something that you don't learn during the week. To learn something new. Why? Because then you're going to be able to be mechadesh something that you wouldn't have been able to. I can't tell you how many times there is certain parts of my learning that I was struggling with understanding when I learned it during the week, when I spent hours and hours trying to understand it. 5 minutes of learning it on Shabbat, I understood the pshat. The clarity that you get on Shabbat, you don't get during the week. It's because those names are all connected, the Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. There's so many stories, you know, we all know stories of people who had enlightening moments on Shabbat. They became inspired. Probably if there's a list of causes for why, you know, Baalei Tshuva become religious, I'm willing to bet that Shabbat, something that has to relate, something related to Shabbat, is number one on that list. I'm willing to bet. I would love for a study to be made, you know, to prove that. But that's why with the koach of Shabbat, we have the koach to eradicate Amalek. By Amalek, how do we know? What's the connection between Amalek and Shabbat? How do we know that Shabbat can eradicate Amalek? Because by Amalek, what does it say? Zachor et asher asa lecha Amalek. Parashat Zachor. It says Zachor. What does it say? Like, what does it say by Shabbat? Zachor et yom haShabbat lekadsho. Zachor. Well, the same Zachor. The same Zachor of Shabbat can eradicate the Zachor of Amalek.
Rabbi.
Yes. Please, please.
Now, I didn't understand very much the connection between. I know you just said it, but the connection between the Zahor of Amalek and Zahor Yom HaShabbat.
It's what's called in Hebrew a gzerah shava. It's a yeah. It's when you find a common word in two different sentences, it means that there's a connection between them. The connection is that Amalek, the koach of Amalek, tries to make us confused. Amalek is bigmatria safek. And on Shabbat is the only way that we could overcome Amalek, because Shabbat gives us clarity. Shabbat gives us clarity when we testify, Hashem created the world, Hashem runs the world, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. That's Shabbat. The only with the koach of Shabbat, we can erase Amalek. And just to end off, a beautiful Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, very so beautiful that says, you know, it's a famous one, we all know this. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Matana Tova Yeshli Bevet Knazai. I have a very, very good present in my treasure house, okay, in Shemaim. What's its name? Vishabbat Shema. And the name of this matana, the name of this present is Shabbat. Vani mevakesh litna liYisrael, and I want to give it to Am Yisrael. Lech vehodian, go and tell them. So says the Sefer Or Gedaliah, or Rav Gedaliah Shor, something unbelievable. He says it's not the pshat that Hashem took Shabbat, removed it from His treasure house, and then placed it down in this world. That's not the pshat. It's not what happens on Shabbat, and then we enjoy it in this world. No. It's not what happens. What happens is that Hashem brings us into that room on Shabbat. He brings us to Him. That's what happens. Hashem gives us that gift, not by throwing it at us on this world, by uplifting us, bringing us in that room, and allowing us to enjoy that gift of Shabbat. That's why we say in Shir HaShirim, Mashcheni Acharecha Narutza. Right? Mashcheni acharecha narutza means Hashem, pull us, bring us towards you, and then we will run. Bring us towards you. Give us that little push, and we'll run to you. That's a koch of Shabbat. Koch of Shabbat gives us clarity, testifying, acknowledging that everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, I give us all the bracha that Bezrat Hashem, we should all be zoche to enter Shabbat in an open-minded way, in a fashion where we could open up our eyes, right? Open up our eyes, look around, and acknowledge and see who created the world, and understand it. Who created this? Who created that? Who's causing the world to run? Who's causing everything to happen? That's Shabbat. We can only get that understanding on Shabbat, but the idea is to take the Kedusha of Shabbat, to take everything we gained on Shabbat, and to bring that with us into the weekdays. And as I said earlier, that Shabbat is the Mekor HaBracha, is the source of all blessing. All bracha that you get during the week comes from the Koch of Shabbat. That's why the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says on this week's parasha that when Hashem initially created the world, He created Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the first 6 days. He created them in a way that they only had the ability to exist one time. And that's it. There would only be one Sunday in history, and one Monday, and one Tuesday, so on and so forth. When Shabbat came, Shabbat gave Koach, gave the ability to the weekdays that are going to follow the Shabbat, Shabbat gave them the ability to exist one more time. And only because of the Koach of Shabbat, there was another Sunday, and another Monday, and another Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But that's it, it would only last one more time, until the next Shabbat came, and allowed it to exist one more time, and so on and so forth, until today. The Koach of our weekdays comes only from the Koach of Shabbat. And the Koach of Shabbat is what? Is acknowledging, is understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, runs the world, is making everything happen in my life, in my friend's life, in my family's lives, is making Corona happen, right? The famous explanation to Corona, not explanation, but you know, where did they get the name Corona from? So Corona comes from some sort of Greek word, right? That has to do with the shape of the actual molecule of the virus that is a shape of a crown. It looks like a crown. I don't know, you guys have probably seen pictures of it. It looks like a crown, so it's called Corona, right? Rabotai, I'm sorry?
Corona is fake, Rabbi.
Corona is fake. Okay. But anyways, whether it's real or whether it's fake, it's called Corona, and it killed many people. And it's continuing to wreck the entire world. But what's going on over here? You know, it's very easy for us to just put HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the side, turn on the news, and turn on, you know, and read all the studies, and look at all the numbers of how many infected here, and how does the virus get transmitted through the air? Do the masks work? Do they not work? Who knows? Is it contagious by surface? Not, is it not only by these air molecules? No one knows. And the idea is that doctors, until today, it's been over 6 months already, have absolutely no clue what's going on. Not to say they have absolutely no clue, they gained some clarity, but things are still very, very blurry, like Amalek style. Very blurry. Very, very blurry. And the idea is, look at what it's affecting. It's not only killing people, making people sick and hospitalizing people. It's closing schools, it's closing corporations. People who thought they had job security now are homeless. People who were millionaires now are begging for money. And the opposite, people who are dirt poor are now millionaires, right? And everything in between. The idea is Corona. We need to finally crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the creation and understand and acknowledge nothing is in our control. Nothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, making things happen. We have to acknowledge that. I'm not giving you any reason for the pandemic. I'm not telling you the explanation for it. I'm not telling you what you need to do. I'm not doing that. But one takeaway message that we could take away, right, is that we should all be humbled. We should all be humbled and act in a humble way, think in a humble way, speak in a humble way, and understand that nothing is in our control. Keep Shabbat with humility. Keep Shabbat with the understanding when you go in tomorrow night into Shabbat, when you say Vaychulu Hashamayim Va'aretz, close your eyes and think for a second. Wow, God really created all of this, all of it, and rested on the seventh day. That's why we're resting on the seventh day. We need to take a moment and acknowledge that. That's what Shabbat is all about. Give us all a bracha that we should be zoche to receive nourishment from Shabbat. Receive nourishment from the koch of Shabbat by acknowledging everything that Hashem does for us. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us. He wants us. He wants our Torah. He wants our mitzvot now more than ever. Don't let anyone tell you Hashem doesn't want us, doesn't want your learning, doesn't want your davening. He wants it now more than ever. More than ever. To understand that. And Bezat Hashem, we should all be zoche to geula, to redemption, a final redemption. All be zoche to Yom Shekulo Shabbat Umnucha Lechaye Ha'olamim. Amen. Thank you guys so much for listening. I wish you all a Shabbat Shalom Umvorach. Shabbat Shalom.